The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I know it's kind of hard, but anybody remember graduating? Anybody? Does anybody remember like emotions of being like graduation? How many of you guys? It's so funny. Every time you go to a high school graduation, college graduation, you have like the same people there, right? Anybody remember being like super excited, can't wait to get out of that place, never going to darken the doors of school ever again? All right. Anybody a little bit sad? Like they cried their graduation because like it was the end of a chapter and all their friends were there and it was a sad time. Anybody? Oh, all right. You? All right. Yeah, I can see that. Anybody scared? It always shocked me, people who like went to armed services after graduation, the Marines, Air Force, Army, wherever you're going, because like it dawns on me that like you're a high school senior one day, and the very next day, not really, but you've got somebody yelling at you, screaming at you, it's boot camp, it's service. I know my senior year in high school was 9/11, happened my senior year in high school, and so like the guys that had dedicated to go into service probably knew they were going into war. And I remember being terrified. One of my best friends, Steve Sims Simmer, he went and he joined the Marines, and I was terrified for Steve. Because I was like, I know where you're going. Like, you're going to combat. You're going to battle. And so graduation has all kinds of emotions. And I think, I don't know, but I remember my senior year in high school, kind of, barely. I was ready to get out of there. School was not my area of expertise. I took surfing 101. Which meant if the waves were up, I'd call Dad and he'd let me check out of school and go to the beach. High school just wasn't a big thing. Like, I was ready to get out of there. I was ready to be done. But I remember going and, like, everybody else knew where they were going to school. They were like, oh, man, I got accepted to this school and I got accepted to that school and I'm going here and I'm going there. And I wasn't that kid because I didn't have the grades, let's say, or the ACT scores that, you know, colleges were really looking for. I actually got rejected from community college. They're like, hey, you might want to try something different. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I remember being terrified because I had no clue what I was going to do. I knew, like, career path, what I wanted to do, but I had no clue how I was going to get there. And so I never would have admitted that. I never would have told anybody that. But I was a little bit scared because I had no clue what the next step was for me. All my friends were going into the Army or the Marines or the Coast Guard. And they all had their plans set up. And I was the one who's kind of like, I'm just praying about it. Which meant I had no clue what I was doing. And it wasn't until after I graduated that I actually found a college and it had a great experience. It was wonderful. But as I started thinking about graduation and recognition and different things like that, the idea of fear came up. And honestly, it came up also because of our Wednesday night Bible study. If you're not a part of Wednesday night Bible study, I know I say this every week, but man, it's awesome. I love it. And a lot of our passages today are going to kind of come from different things I've seen in our Wednesday night Bible study. See, I think we get this idea that I want to talk to you guys today just about peace in the presence of fear. Because a lot of us think that, what, if you have peace, what is absent? Fear. Most of us, if I have peace, then I'm not afraid of something. But what I want to challenge you with is this. Peace is not the absence of fear, but the confidence when we are afraid. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is kind of Jesus' last moments with his disciples, and he shares this with them, and he says, listen, I'm leaving you peace. And peace is kind of, when I look at this, it's the absence of fear. But it's not. It's more the confidence that the disciples are supposed to have. Why? Because their confidence is in Christ. It's in the person of Jesus and what he tells them. Later on in Acts chapter 12, this is one of our stories we've done over on Wednesday night. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrist. When I think about that story of Peter, it's interesting because Peter, just to catch you up, Herod had already put to death John. And so, like, this was a trial, but really what Peter was doing the next day is he was going to trial, and it was fixed. He was going to be put to death. And so the night before Peter is going to be put to death, what's he doing? I have a hard time sleeping good if I eat bad pizza. And here Peter is getting ready to face his death the next day. And he's sound asleep, and he's not just sound asleep. He's sound asleep enough that an angel has to wake him up by physically touching him. Anybody hard to wake up? Yeah, you raise your hand. Nora. Man, she's got bunk beds now. This is a sight for you. She's got bunk beds. And so I'm hanging onto the ladder trying to shake her and wake her up to go to school in the morning. One day I'm going to fall, and that's why. And you guys now know. But like, that's how hard Peter was sleeping. Why? Because you think he wasn't afraid? See, I think Peter was afraid. I don't think that anybody can honestly say they don't fear death a little bit. Even the most people who are prepared, they're ready, they know death is coming, they've accepted it, they're moving in that direction and they're okay with it, there's still this element of fear. Why? Because we're meant to fear death. Because of the unknown, because there's so many things about it we don't understand, we don't know. And so there's this fear in all of us of death. And so I think Peter was afraid at that moment, but I think his confidence was in Christ. And so he knew, hey, listen, if this is my death, God's going to work it out somehow. God's going to take care of this. God's going to have something in store for me that I can sleep knowing that God is in control of this. See, I think for a lot of us, we believe the absence of fear means the presence of God. Or that if God is in something, we won't be afraid. But then I started thinking back through all the different encounters that Jesus and his disciples had leading up to his death and going into his resurrection. You realize that after the resurrection, Jesus walks into a room. What's the very first thing he says to his disciples? Peace. Second thing is, don't be afraid. Every single time. Instead, see, again, just to all church talk aside, how many of you guys like to do scary, unknown things when it comes to your faith? Whether it's sharing your faith, whether it's doing something that you've never done before and trusting God completely, we don't. The area we enjoy doing, people, I know people who will skydive. Michael talked about this a couple weeks ago about bungee jumping and how he didn't think about that at all. I know people who will skydive but won't and not give it a second thought. But people, when it comes to trusting God with their next day, their next step, what they're supposed to do, their career path, their plans for the future, they kind of back away. And they don't trust God with it, and they're terrified of it. And so this, I've heard this a million times. I've got a good friend I talk to on a regular basis. He wants to be a pastor. I said, man, you know, if you want to be a pastor, here's what you might have to do. He goes, oh, no, I can't leave where I am. I said, why? He said, well, I've got a job here. I've got a house here. I've got a mortgage here. I've got a wife, and she's got a job here. And it's so funny as I talk to him, because really what he's saying is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to leave where I am. And so, as Christians, what we do is we do this. If I'm afraid, then that means that God's not in this, because God's not a part of fear, right? And so we shy away from things that scare us. Go back to those two words that Jesus said every time he saw his disciples after his resurrection. Peace, don't be afraid. See, we've allowed ourselves to convince ourselves that the presence of fear is the absence of God's presence in something, when it's the exact opposite. The presence of fear may mean that God is in it. Every single time after the disciples saw him after the resurrection, there was fear in the disciples' lives, and that meant Jesus was standing there with them. I just think that a lot of times we get that backwards. Peace is not just the absence of fear, but it's the confidence when we are afraid. The other thing that peace is, It's not this. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but courage in times of suffering. In John chapter 16, verse 33, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Y'all know anybody like that? They think that, like, if they're, as soon as I become a Christian, the world's just going to be perfect. Roses, no problems whatsoever at all, right? We don't, because everybody knows that's not true, but how many of you actually live that way? The first sign of problems, who do we blame? God, why'd you let this happen to me? God, why'd you let this happen? That's crazy to me, because what Jesus tells his disciples there, what he tells his followers there is, listen, you're going to have trouble. Life is going to be difficult. Life is going to have suffering. I had a conversation with Miss Judy the other day after Bible study. She sent me a text the next morning, and she said, I think somehow we as Christians have gotten this really confused. We expect that there's not going to be trouble in our lives. When you go back and you read the very mark of the early church, when you read the mark of what Christ did, what he says to his followers, everything said, you have to experience trouble. It's going to be there. We're shocked by it, but the truth of the matter is, we shouldn't be. We're told all along that if you are following Christ, you're going to have difficulties, trouble, persecution. Not just you can't find a good parking spot at Walmart, persecution. Persecution. Another story in Acts that we went over on Wednesday night that just shook me about this is Acts chapter 18. And it said this, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep speaking and don't be silent, for I'm with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. It's funny to me that anytime difficulties come, we tend to shy away from them. But peace isn't the absence of trouble, it's the courage in times of suffering. To stand in those times victorious because you know where your confidence comes from. To be able to take on whatever trouble life faces with boldness and resolve that your faith will not be shaken. So we know what peace is, and it's not the absence of fear, and it's not the absence of trouble. So what is peace? Peace goes beyond safety and what we can understand. Again, in Acts chapter 16, you see where Paul and Silas are flogged. After they've been flogged, they've been thrown into jail with the command to guard them carefully. When they received his orders, they put them on the inner cell, fastened their feet in stocks. It was about midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Peace goes beyond safety and what we can understand. It's something that comes from God. We find ourselves in a similar situation in Acts. Christians are in jail again. You know, as I read through Acts, there seems to be this trend, Miss Sue. There's a couple of trends. Every time Paul goes into a city or somebody goes into a city and starts to teach or preach, the Jewish people of the city become angry and get mad at him. But there's this other trend in Acts also. Every time somebody starts to do this, they end up in jail. I'm not saying you need to go out of here and get put in jail. That's probably not the best thing to have happen. But I really do wonder, every time we see the early church, somebody's in jail. And we're worried. They got caution tape up in church. That kind of looks ugly. Can you believe they did that? Did you see the hallway back here? It's kind of crowded. I'm suffering for Jesus. I walked through that crowded hallway. Man, I think we kind of missed this idea that our safety is God's main concern. I don't think that's true. I think God wants you to be saved, by all means. But I think that his main concern is sharing the good news of Christ with people, whether you're safe or not. And when I think about Paul and Silas as they're sitting there, I wonder why they sang. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Again, more than likely at this point in time, the trial would be fake, it'd be false, they'd be accused of things that they couldn't refute, they couldn't refuse, and so if they wanted to, they'd be put in jail. Not just put in jail, they're already in jail, they'd be put to death. And even in that situation, they're sitting there singing. And I don't think it's because Silas knew a good song. I don't think it was because Paul knew a good tune. And so it just kind of was one of those, you know, those toe tappers where you just can't help but tap your foot along because it's such a good song. I don't think that's why. I don't think it was just the song that they were singing that was impactful. I think it was who they were worshiping. I think it was who they were singing praises to. And all of a sudden, what made absolutely no sense to everybody else, because here these two men who are going to be tried for death are singing and are praising God in the situation that they're in, I think it goes way beyond our safety and it starts to cause us to do things that nobody else understands what we do. And that's one of the crazy things about this idea. The other thing about peace is this. Peace is a state of mind that changes our actions. When you read Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says this: "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Peace comes from what we allow ourselves to focus on. Go back and look at that passage in Isaiah again. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Now, I'm a big advocate of this. I'll be an advocate of this as long as I live. The battle that you and I face is not a battle of flesh and blood, and it's not even a battle of the heart versus the will. The battle that you and I will always face is a battle for your mind. And when you and I lose the battle for our mind, we lose the battle for our heart. When you and I lose the battle for our mind, we lose the battle for our body. We lose the battle for our flesh. We lose all those battles, but it all starts right here. Some of y'all don't have any kind of peace at all. You know why? Because you let this thing start ticking. You let this thing start worrying. You let this thing start thinking of all the different things that could be, should be, would be, what ifs. All those different things run right here. Instead of focusing on who you need to focus on, you focus on all the what ifs. You focus on all the things that could be, possibly, the dangers of this. And so you work yourself into a frenzy. And anybody ever say this? It's at least once a week, maybe. I have to go to Kelsey and, "Hey, I'm really sorry for what I did. It's not you I'm mad at. It's just this situation." Nightly with my kids. "Hey, listen, I'm sorry Dad blew his top and yelled at you. It's not so much you. It's the situation I'm facing." So what does that tell you? Is peace ruling our head? What's ruling our head? The situation. The fear. The unknown. The difficulties. The circumstances. All those things that are rolling around our head. And it changes our what? Actions, right? All of a sudden, the worry, the doubts, the fears, all those different things that play out up here that rob us of our peace play out in how we interact with other people. You know what the cool thing is, though? The exact opposite can be true. Colossians chapter 3, I think it is. It's in your notes. It says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, forgiving each other of anything, any grievance against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful." See, just like we can let worry and doubt and confusion rule our minds and therefore cause us to be quick in our responses and quick in our actions and short-tempered and irritable and angry and say, hey, listen, it's not you, it's just the situation I'm facing. The exact opposite is true, is when we can fix our mind on peace, when we can make our mind dwell in the trust and faith in Christ, then what happens is things that should bother us don't. Instead of being irritable and ill and angry and ill-tempered, we have things like compassion, we have things like kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. We have love that transcends understanding and doesn't make sense to people. And even in these dark situations when all this other stuff's going on, because our mind is focused on Him, we're experiencing peace, and so we're loving the people when we shouldn't be. Y'all ever get really angry at somebody? You know what I mean? Every day? Yeah, me too. You get really, really angry at somebody, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that anger just goes away. I know this happens all the time in our house. I'll be super angry. I'll be super angry at a kid. I'll be super angry at somebody, and I'm just like getting ready to go nuts, and then Kelsey will yell at them. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I can be the one who's loving. I can be the one who's gentle. And it goes the opposite way too, but it's just so funny to me how that peace changes my actions. Church, I wonder how many of us are ruled by doubt and worry and confusion and difficulties. And so we've lost all that up here. And so we're mean and we're ugly and we're hate-filled and we've got all this ungodly stuff spewing out of our life. Because our mind isn't fixed on peace. Our mind is fixed on anything else other than that. I'm not a marriage counselor, but you know why you're fighting in your marriage? Because your mind's not fixed on peace. You want to know why you're fighting with your parents? Because your mind's not fixed on peace. You want to know why you're rude to people when you don't want to be? Because your mind's not fixed on peace. Listen, if I'm going to read this and I'm going to take it for what it says, when my mind is fixed on Him, my faith and trust is in Christ alone. And I let that battle take place up here, but I say, listen, I'm going to trust in You, God, whatever it is. All of a sudden, I'm kind when I shouldn't be kind. That person who irritates the mess out of me, I've got patience for days with them. I'm loving to people who I shouldn't be loving to, people who do me wrong, who say things bad about you, or whatever the case is. And all that happens because of the peace that you experience in your mind. This morning, I wonder how many of us are letting fear run our lives. We wouldn't say that. We'd say things like, we're just prepared for every situation, Pastor. We want to make sure we're on the prepared end of things, and so we're thinking about all the things that could go wrong. That's easy to do. But I wonder this morning if we wouldn't be better just to trust. To experience confidence, not because we understand the situation, but because God does. I wonder this morning if we could stand boldly in that gap of difficulties and as suffering comes in our life, we can stand there and say, hey, listen, I know this isn't the ideal situation, but I'm okay where I am. I can face this difficulty because I know who walks through it with me. I wonder this morning if you could sing in your worship spots. Mike, not because Michael and Becky did a great job this morning. They did. Hey, guess what? If they do a bad job, you can still sing. Not because of the song that's being sung, because of the joy that you have in your life, the peace that you're experiencing in your life. I wonder how many of us this morning have lost this mindset. And it's worked our way out in every aspect of our life. So all of a sudden we're finding ourselves doing things we never thought we'd do because we're letting fear win. We were talking last night your Sunday school class, have read a story today about a guy named Bob Goff and some different things that he did. Part of that story, Kelsey said, was just amazing what all these things happened and how God did these remarkable things. And she said, I don't get it. I feel like we're missing something. Because God did, if I'm going to do a bad job of quoting it, a witch doctor tried to kill a baby in Uganda, and in the process, they wasn't able to kill the baby, but got put on trial. Bob Goff was an attorney who was able to convict this witch doctor and get him sentenced to death row. Well, not just after that, a doctor in California said, hey, listen, bring this child over here. I'm going to fix the child and repair what the witch doctor messed up, and was able to bring him over there. And in the process of that, this witch doctor became part of an English-speaking school and got saved in prison and got to meet with the very guy who convicted him. And Kelsey goes, it's just amazing to me to watch all the things that God does and how this witch doctor tried to kill this boy, but in the process, this witch doctor becomes saved and now has a very gospel-centered conversation with the same guy who convicted him. She said, I don't get why things like that don't happen all the time. I think it's because our faith doesn't allow it to. See, we trust what we understand. We have peace as long as we can control the situation. But as soon as fear creeps in and it's out of our control, well, God can't be in this, and so I've got to bail. I've got to get away from it. I think we let fear determine whether or not God's in something, when we should let the peace of God come into every situation in our life and let that be the determining factor. If you don't experience God's peace in something, that's different. God, I don't know how to end services sometimes, but you do. So Father, I pray today that something would resonate with us, Lord. That in the presence of fear in our life, we would see you working. In the presence of fear in our life, God, we would understand that you were there. That God, that you offer peace in those situations. Lord, I pray that as we would walk through different situations and circumstances in life, that you would give us your peace. Peace that helps us sing when things are difficult. God, peace that comes from you. God, that you would help us to focus our mind on you. Lord, to not let fear run our mind, but to let the peace that comes from you run our mind. Help us to make the decisions that glorify you. And God, that it would change the way we live. Father, I pray that you would just help us to worship you during this time, regardless of what's going on around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.